Good evening. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church, where we get to celebrate our God's grace together, and especially tonight, as we continue our Lenten series of three words of truth. We get to do two sets of three words of truth tonight, so you get double your money, double for your money tonight. But you don't have to pay anything, do you? Isn't that just grace? That's exactly what we get to receive tonight as we go to the upper room and celebrate what Jesus gives to us. Not that we have to do anything for it. He simply gives it to us. For us and Him, and for us, all of us together. That's what we'll celebrate tonight. We begin our worship this evening with hymn 397. Please note we'll sing stanzas 1 through 4. God bless your worship this evening. In this Lenten season, we have heard again how our Lord walked the path of suffering, which led him to the cross for our salvation. We have also heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin, death, and the devil, all that keeps us from loving God and one another. This is the struggle to which we were committed at baptism. God's forgiveness and the power of His Spirit to amend our lives continue with us because of His love for us in Jesus our Savior. Within the family of the church, God never wearies of giving peace and new life. In the absolution, we receive forgiveness as from God Himself. This absolution, we should not doubt but firmly believe that our sins are thus forgiven before God in heaven, for it comes to us in the name and by the command of our Lord. We who receive God's love in Jesus Christ are called to love one another, to be servants to each other, as Jesus became our servant. In Holy Communion, the members of Christ's body participate most intimately in this love. Remembering our Lord's Last Supper with His disciples, we eat the bread and drink the cup of this meal. Together we receive the Lord's gift of His body and blood for forgiveness, and participate in that new covenant that makes us one with Him and one another. The Lord's Supper is the promise of the great banquet we will share with all the faithful when our Lord returns, the joyous culmination of our reconciliation with God and each other. Now please stand. Let us confess our sins to God. and ask him for forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Father, I confess to you that I have not loved you with all my heart. In what I have done and left undone, I have pursued my ways instead of your ways. I have not loved my brothers and sisters as myself. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. I am truly sorry for my sins. I repent of them. I beg for your mercy. Forgive us for the sake of Jesus Christ, who suffered and died for us.
Cleanse me from my sins. Release me from my guilt. Grant me your Holy Spirit to amend my sinful life.
The Almighty God has been merciful to us and has sent his Son to die for all. For his sake, God forgives our sins and calls us from darkness to his marvelous light. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven us and reconciled us to God and has promised us the power to forgive and love each other. Relying on his promise, therefore, be reconciled with one another.
Brothers and sisters, may the peace of Christ rule.
Let us now pray together to our God. Lord Jesus Christ, in the sacrament of Holy Communion, you give us your true body and blood as a remembrance of your suffering and death on the cross. Grant us so firmly to believe your words and promise that we may always partake of this sacrament to our eternal good. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Tonight, as we celebrate what Jesus instituted, that first Maundy Thursday night, we go to Jeremiah chapter 31, because this gives us a lot of context of what Jesus references when he institutes the Lord's Supper. He talks about this new covenant. Well, what is this new covenant? Jeremiah tells us. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
second lesson this evening from Hebrews chapter 10 reveals that you and I can come to this table and approach God with confidence, and therefore we can also with freedom and confidence love and serve one another. From Hebrews chapter 10. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The gospel for this evening is from Luke chapter 22, where we go into the upper room to see where Jesus instituted this beautiful supper. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 313. Please note we'll sing stanzas 1, 2, 7, and 8. Brothers and sisters who have been sprinkled by the blood, who have entered the house of God through the curtain that is his body, grace is yours. Amen. The sermon text for this evening comes from Matthew's account, a little snippet from the upper room in Matthew chapter 26, but let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your new covenant. Amen. Well, here we are again. Here we are again in this most blessed of weekends. Am I right? Here we are again in the spirit of the upper room, at the foot of the cross. And as we gaze into the tomb of Jesus of Nazareth with no Jesus of Nazareth in it, wonders of wonders, here we are again on the most blessed weekend of our worship life. There really is nothing that gets better than this, is there? But I know that as we gather here tonight, there's still a little bit of sadness in your heart. Because this means that our weekly Lenten dinners are done. You may think I'm joking with that, but I'm serious. There's a lot more to those meals than just the food, isn't there? Just like other family meals, we gather together around a table, many of us, getting to know each other better. We share stories. We can share our sorrows. We share our joys. We share our struggles. We share encouragements from the Bible. We share promises for prayer. We share things about our life that we wouldn't share with any stranger. No, there's a fellowship there. Not just that, we get to serve each other. We get to bring food for each other. And if we don't bring food, we can bring money so that we can help pay for these meals, so that they can continue to take place, so that we can continue to gather and celebrate this fellowship. Boy, there's a lot there that happens in those Lenten suppers than just the food. What a blessing. And yet, all of these blessings that we received every Wednesday evening for the last 6 weeks pale in comparison to what we get to celebrate tonight. Those three words of truth tonight, two sets of them, remind us of something else that we get to celebrate that is far more intimate. There's a closeness and a fellowship that is far greater than even those Lenten meals. There are blessings that are received and given far more than what we share with each other at those tables. Here, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the friend of sinners, invites us to come and feast with Him. This truly is a blessed meal. The words of the invitation are very familiar to us. Matthew's account here in chapter 26, while they were eating, Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." The two sets of three words of truth that we get to celebrate tonight are take and eat, take and drink. And these words tell us two big things. Here, Jesus eagerly desires our presence. And two, here Jesus graciously gives us His presence. In Luke chapter 22 that we just read, we get a little bit of a snippet that isn't in Matthew, and it's a beautiful detail that the Holy Spirit adds. Jesus says, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Really? He says this to the men who, over the course of 3 years, continually showed that they really didn't get what he was teaching sometimes? Eagerly desired? Really? With the men who, in a little while after this, would completely abandon him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he knew it. He says to them, "With you." Really? With these men who, even at this meal, when they first got there, were elbowing each other and jostling for position and arguing about who is the greatest asset to the kingdom of God among them. Really, Jesus says, "I have eagerly desired to eat this meal with you." To those guys? Where were the women who were so faithful to Jesus and who supported him throughout his ministry? Where was Mary, the sister of Martha, who obviously showed that she understood Jesus' teachings far more than the disciples did at times? This was quite the motley crew that Jesus invites to his supper. And yet the invitation remains. Jesus' words were still the same. "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you." See, in the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter much who the guests are. What matters is who the host is. And the host is Jesus, the friend of sinners, the one who ate with this motley crew of disciples, the one who ate with Zacchaeus, that scam artist, the one who ate with tax collectors and prostitutes and other sinners, the one who ate with lepers and other outcasts. This is Jesus of Nazareth we're talking about. We can gain a lot of comfort when we take a look at the fact that Jesus eagerly desired to eat this meal with his disciples. As sinful and as weak as they were, because you and I can see a lot of ourselves in them. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that before we receive this meal, we are to examine ourselves. I don't know about you, but when I examine myself in the mirror of God's law, oh, it's painful. It really hurts. When I look in the mirror of God's law, I see a man who has failed time and again. See a man who has tripped over temptations of Satan time and again. Worse yet, I see a man who is utterly defiant, who doesn't really care about fellowship that he has with God, at least not to the extent that God wants me to. I see a man who doesn't really respect who my father is and what that means to him. I clench my teeth and say, "My will be done, God." I look in the mirror of God's law. I see a man that doesn't respect the fellowship that we have with each other as Christians. When I do that, or maybe when you do that too, does it give you the control over your life that you want? Does it give you any peace and security that you feel like you need in this life? No. It only brings unrest. It only brings judgment. Sadly, it only brings separation from God and from each other. Yeah, when I look at myself in the mirror of God's law, I see that this holy meal is not for me. And yet, the invitation of our Savior remains the same. Come, take and eat, take and drink, come. Because God, His Father, said, go. So Jesus came to this earth. And Jesus, if you want to talk about fellowship, as creator of the entire world, became one with His creation. He became a human being. And if you want to talk about fellowship, talk about walking in our footsteps, but perfectly, to cover up all of our missteps. If you want to talk about fellowship, talk about Him covering you with His blood, knowing that that erases, washes away all of your sins. Here on that first Maundy Thursday night, the quietness of that upper room must have seemed like millions of miles away from what would happen the next day. And yet, as time surely moves on, it would certainly come. All of the horrors that He would go through in our place. But that was always the plan, to go where we couldn't, so that we could come to God. And a part of that plan as well was the night before to institute this heavenly banquet. This meal is for us. And God wants us here. He eagerly desires our presence at this meal. If you're one of those who thinks that sin hangs over you and your head just hangs down and you can't come because you're so unworthy, well, guess what? You don't write the guest list. It's a host that does that. And He says, come. You're on the list. He eagerly desires your presence because this is where He gives you amazing presence gifts. Grace on top of grace. Not only does He want us here to have fellowship with Him in that way, but He wants to also give us something, because that is exactly who He is. And really, that's exactly what the new covenant is. Here, He gives us great blessings at this meal. What are they? Forgiveness of sins, Jesus says. And as Luther so succinctly puts it in the Catechism, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. Jesus wants you to come to this meal because this is where He gets to forgive you. That's what He gets to give you. Just as a creative spouse will provide and do different things in various ways, more than just saying I love you to their spouse, this is the same thing for God. In this meal, Jesus says to you, I love you, I forgive you. Because He knows that we have more than just eyes and ears. We have other senses too. He gives us forgiveness there in the waters of baptism. But here especially, at the Lord's table, you get to taste and see that the Lord is good. You get to have that forgiveness on your lips Because what do you receive? How do you receive that forgiveness of sins? Because you receive the body and blood of Jesus that would die on the cross the next day. Jesus says it himself. Paul confirms it in 1 Corinthians. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Tomorrow you're going to come here, God willing, and you're going to celebrate what Jesus did on that cross. That very body and blood that died, guess what you get to receive tonight? Exactly what he did on that cross. Tonight you get to have that fellowship with God. But it doesn't end there. That isn't the only fellowship that we get to celebrate. We also get to celebrate a fellowship in unity with each other. Paul continues, not only is the sacrament a participation in the body and blood of Christ, but because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body. For we all share the one loaf. We all come here from different walks of life. We are men or women. We are young or old or in between. We are in different income brackets. We are in different ethnic backgrounds. We are joyous or we are sad. We are healthy or we are sick. And yet, when we come here, when we go and kneel at the Lord's table, we kneel as equals. We all receive the same bread. We all receive the same fruit of the vine. We don't come and kneel in our own little closets and shut the door. No, we get to partake with each other as a family. And not only do we get to partake together, but we get to receive a strength of our faith through that grace so that we can learn to love one another as Jesus says, so that we can live up to the mandate that gives Maundy Thursday its name. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you must love one another. This sacrament not only forgives our sins, it gives us the strength to fulfill that fellowship. But it doesn't end there. If you think God is gracious, just remember what this meal is also for you. This meal also provides another gift, another present. You get to stick your head up above the madness and the sadness of this life and look forward to a taste of what the next life is going to be. Did you know that there are some Scandinavian churches in the Midwest that really get this picture a really good, they really do it justice? Their communion rails are semicircular, but it's just a half circle. The other half is invisible because it symbolizes the fact that there's also fellowship with those who have gone before us in heaven. It's a reminder of what we get to look forward to. All of us together, when everyone is there visibly, with Jesus, the Lamb of God, on his throne in the center, praising him forever. Yeah, we get forgiveness, life, and salvation, not just in this life, but we get the culmination of it on the last day and forever. Eternal life, complete salvation. Look at the gifts, the presents, the blessings that God gives in this sacrament. With two sets of three words of truth, Jesus makes sure to let us know that he eagerly desires our presence and that he gives us his blessings, his presence. And we truly are here blessed as we are reminded what we receive, but also of what we do indeed receive. The Lenten suppers, they're super nice. But really, they pale in comparison to when the Son of God, the friend of sinners, says to us and gives to us tonight and from here on forth, take and eat, take and drink. Amen. Please stand. May the grace of the new covenant that God gives to you, 100% his work, guard your hearts and minds through faith in him. Amen. We confess our faith responsively. You'll find that on page 8 in your worship folders. In his small catechism, Martin Luther summarizes what the Bible teaches about the institution, blessings, power, and proper reception of the Lord's Supper, also called Holy Communion or the Sacrament of the Altar. What is the sacrament of Holy Communion?
It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ for us Christians to eat and drink.
Where is this written?
The holy evangelists Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the Apostle Paul record Jesus' words when he said, "This is my body, this is my blood."
What blessing do we receive from such eating and drinking?
That is shown us by these words, given and poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Through these words we receive forgiveness of sins, life and salvation in this sacrament. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation.
How can bodily eating and drinking do such great things?
It is certainly not the eating and drinking.
Who then properly receives this sacrament?
Fasting and other outward preparations may serve a good purpose, but he is properly prepared who believes these words, given and poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. But whoever does not believe these words or doubts them is not prepared, because the words for you require nothing but hearts that believe.
You may be seated for the offering. In the joy of unity, we join together in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, author of the everlasting covenant and giver of the cup of salvation, We gather in your courts to praise you for your grace. As our Lord Jesus Christ gave thanks to you when he broke the bread, as he gave thanks to you when he took the cup, we also give you thanks. Precious Savior, both priest and offering, awe and wonder fill our hearts as we partake of your body, broken for us, and your blood shed for us. For such love we praise you, bless you, and adore you, Lord Jesus. O Holy Spirit, dwell within us as we remember our Lord's death in this sacrament. Enter our hearts to strengthen our faith and fill us with gratitude for your great mercy. Move us to encourage one another, and as our Lord served his disciples by washing their feet, so may we also humbly serve one another. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, help us live our lives as sacrifices of thanksgiving to you, who first loved us. We pray this in the name of him who also taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please stand in honor of the grace in the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us prepare and lift up our hearts. Do you believe that you are sinful and in need of forgiveness?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that in this sacrament, Jesus gives you his body and blood?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe, therefore, that in this sacrament you receive forgiveness of your sins, life, and salvation?
Yes, I believe. And I praise my gracious God, the loving
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Please stand. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, the final two stanzas of hymn 397. Good evening. Brothers and sisters of St. Mark's Lutheran Church, it was a pleasure to worship with you as always. Big weekend ahead, wouldn't you say? Oh, Lamb of God, I come, I come. We get to do that tomorrow night as we see the Lamb of God and celebrate the fact that he did pay for our sins. So we get to reflect on the seriousness of our sins. So come join us. You'll see the services there are printed for you toward the back of the bulletin. 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. tomorrow. On Saturday, we also have a chance to share the message of exactly what's happened this week with our Easter egg hunt. If you didn't know, our Easter egg hunt will include some eggs that are called resurrection eggs. They'll include little pictures and little things that help tell our story. I'll have a set myself, and I'll say, did anybody get one of these? So it helps tell the Easter story. So we get to declare those praises on Saturday. Come join us if you can, in our fellowship too, but also in the hopes that we can join with others. We can have them join our fellowship as well. Easter Sunday is also coming. Fear not. If there's a Friday here on Good Friday, there's an Easter. God be praised. And we'll celebrate three services, 7 a.m., 9 a.m., and 10:45, because we always have to have a 10:45. That was a joke. That's okay. I know that one's Jim's favorite, but those are our three services. Please note, the 7 a.m. service will be a sunrise service that will, once again, celebrate the fellowship with the holy meal that we have in the Lord's Supper. 9 and 10:45 will not celebrate, but they will include the choir as well. So no matter which one you come to, you're going to get the gospel. God be praised. So join us this weekend, but also one note for you. As a fellowship of brothers and sisters, one of our sisters in Christ got to go to heaven during Holy Week. Is there a better week to go to heaven? I don't think so. She is in heaven. Betty Oskin went on Tuesday. A week from this Saturday, we're going to celebrate Christ's work in her life in a memorial service. That will be at 10 a.m. right here. So just to let you know, no luncheon, but some snacks after the services will follow. But 10 a.m., Saturday, April 27th. May God continue to bless you and the fellowship that you have, and as we live out that mandate to love one another. Please stick around to greet one another.